was called. Now this was getting serious, so Smith felt that he must have a friendly interview with the men in antitrust. So hat in hand, he went to them. They'd surely been misled. No rule of law had he defied, but then their lawyer said, "The rule of law in complex times has proved itself deficient. We much prefer the rule of men. It's vastly more efficient." "Now, let me state the present rules," the lawyer then went on. "Those very simple guidelines you can rely upon. You're gouging on your prices if you charge more than the rest, but it's unfair competition if you think you can charge less. A second point that we would make to help avoid confusion, don't try to charge the same amount. That would be collusion. You must compete, but not too much. For if you do, you see, then the market would be yours, and that's monopoly. Price too high or price too low? Now, which charge did they make?" Well, they weren't loath to charging both, with public good at stake. In fact, they went but better. They charged monopoly. No muss, no fuss, oh woe is us, egad, they charged all three. 5 years in jail, the judge then said. "You're lucky it's not worse. Robber barons must be taught society comes first. Now bread is baked by government, and as might be expected, everything is well controlled, the public well protected. True, loaves cost a dollar each, but our leaders do their best. The selling price is half a cent. Taxes pay the rest." This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off, here to talk about what's on your mind today or this week. I'd like to start off by talking about the presidential debate last night between Biden and Trump and hear what you had to say. Now, I watched the morning shows, the evening shows with the liberal press on national media, and I watched them cry and moan and complain, and what are we going to do? Totally meltdown. They've got to have a new candidate. We just got to get Biden to step back. Got to find someone else, which would kind of be a nightmare in some ways for the Trump campaign if they actually did replace Biden and got someone up there who was very articulate and very well versed on issues and basically didn't carry some of the baggage that Trump carries with a lot of people. But that's not to be, because Biden came out just a little while ago, about 30 minutes ago, and his campaign announced that he is definitely planning to stay, hang on to the nomination. He intends to continue to run. He's looking forward to the next debate, which I believe is sometime in September. But I'd like to hear what you have to say, good or bad. Tell me what's on your mind, and especially regarding the debate. Got a caller? Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I want to start you off with some sarcasm. You ready for it?
Sure.
You know what the problem with Biden last night was? A lack of diversity.
Yeah, really.
All right. Hey, that's all yours, buddy. Listen to
that's
the rest
it.
Of the show.
Okay. Yeah, Biden was terrible last night. I mean, he was in so many different ways. He actually kind of drifted off at one point. He would stand there slack-jawed, mouth open, like looking somewhere else. He literally lost track of what he was saying in the middle of one and came back with a totally incoherent statement to the point where even Trump said, "I don't know what he's talking about. I don't think he does either." He ended up saying, "Beat Medicare." I have no idea what that was about. But let's go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Al. You know, I'm just going to make a comment about last night's debate. It's truly amazing to me that the media, along with so many people, acted surprised that the guy could barely hold his own. He struck me as being, it reminds me of Weekend at Bernie's. He's so stiff that he's almost like a walking corpse from my point of view. But getting back to the point, so many people acted like they were surprised. And yet we've known this for the past, you know, several years, that this guy is not in charge of our government. Somebody else is in charge of this government. I'm hoping that maybe not too long after this, that they will start looking into who actually is running our government. You know, here it is. You got the media, you know, all the corrupt media you can point your finger at. Before the debate, they were talking about how well they thought he was going to do. And then to act like they were totally surprised that he did so poorly. And so this idea of him being commander-in-chief, the idea of him being in control of the nuclear option to protect our country, that's a frightening thought all in itself. The commander-in-chief is an imbecile. So,
go ahead.
I'm just surprised that, well, for instance, you got your Democrats. I spoke to a number of them. They asked me, are you going to watch the debate? I said, well, it's not going to be a debate, okay? I see this whole thing being a absolute disaster for the Democrats, even though I would argue, too, the Democrats knew full well he was going to crash. This is the reason why it was set up so early, was to get him removed as soon as they can. There was no surprises here. This was all anticipated. There are no surprises here. They've probably already picked out the next nominated Democrat for president in 2024.
Well, I think backfired.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it backfired. I watched. Well, let's see. First of all, who's running the country? Well, there's a cabal of Obama people, obviously. To the administration, but Jill Biden probably is pulling the strings. This happened with Woodrow Wilson back in World War I or after that. He basically had a massive stroke, and Mrs. Wilson was pretty much running the White House. She would sign the legislation using his hand holding a pen and move his hand with a signature and keeping him isolated until finally the Democratic powers that be, the bosses they had back then, demanded to see him. When they saw him, says he's not running again because he wanted to run for a third term. And that's what stopped that. But I watched Jill Biden just an hour ago in a speech he was making in North Carolina, get up there and make this really powerful introductory speech. She was really rallying the troops. It's the first time I've seen a first lady do that. She sounds like the power behind the throne that's making things happen, probably with the acquiescence of Obama and company. And I think the first lady is probably pretty much running the office of the presidency. That's a scary thought. Anyway,
I have
one
to
last
agree
comment.
100% on that.
Yeah.
But you know,
I got another caller waiting too.
Okay.
I got another caller coming. I want to try to take them. Hey, thanks for your call. Hi, you're on the air. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Al. Yes, I kind of disagree with the other caller. I think after the 8 days of hiding at Camp David and whatever they were doing to him there, they were hoping for a better performance, like a little bit more like the State of the Union, at least fired up, even if it was incoherent. My opinion is Donald Trump got lucky. His performance to me was B- at best. He understands a lot of the points, and he puts it out there. And the way he puts it out, the people that are for him or the people that really understand the issues know what he's talking about. But he does it. He just needs to add a little bit more on his points. I think it was a mistake, even though it'll probably be forgotten about, to say he would end the war in Ukraine before he even takes office. I think that's a little too bold. I think he could say he'd try everything in his power. The war was started after he was out, so it's hard to stop wars once they're started. He made some guarantees that I think might have been a little outrageous, and I think he could have explained himself. So he got lucky that Biden didn't show up like at the State of the Union. Or it would have been a win for Biden, or a draw at best for Trump. So he needs to do better. And I think there are a lot of mechanical issues where we're getting to the point where they can't replace Biden. They got the issue of Kamala Harris, and then they've also got 50 states that they have to all have different laws on how to get somebody new on the ballot. And it can be done. It's not too late for them, but there's a lot of logistical issues. They're kind of screwed either way, unless Trump, there's a lot of things going on with him legally. But anyways, I don't think Trump was at his best. I think the debate format, though, might be a good debate format going ahead in the future. But that's my opinion.
I agree with you. A whole bunch of issues there. I think Trump did not do as well as he could have. He's not as focused as he needs to be. He did not elaborate sometimes. His elocution style is not very good. He makes broad sweeping statements without filling in the blanks, and sometimes he assumes people knows what he means. He does not form a sentence or a thought, taking a paragraph and fill it out. He'll jump to the next thought. And you're kind of left there, well, does he mean this? Does he mean that? And, of course, that leaves it wide open for criticism from the left to say he's a liar, he doesn't know what he's talking about, things like that. And they always take any statement he makes and twist it and turn it into the worst possible thing. So,
One of the ones, I don't know if you can tell me what you think he meant, is when he was talking about what happened on October 7th wouldn't have happened. And then he threw something in about the money. Was he talking about... We're spending
I know exactly what he's talking about. What happened with Biden is that he had all these sanctions that Trump had placed on Iran. Iran was literally, on its back financially. And when Biden lifted all those sanctions, they literally gave them access to billions upon billions of dollars, which was then funded to terrorist organizations such as Hamas and Hezbollah and other groups in the region in order to fulfill their plans over the last couple of years to build up their arsenal and their plans to launch this massive attack on October 7th. At that time, we had a very robust presence in the Middle East. Trump had no problems doing what had to be done to take out bad actors. And the main thing is he just really went after Iran. He said that the Iran treaty that Obama negotiated was a terrible treaty. He pulled out of that, and he really began putting the screws down on the sanctions on Iran. They were just basically keeping their chins above water, and Biden came along, lifted all of that, and just gave Iran free rein in the region to the point we have Houthis firing missiles at U.S. vessels and flagships in the region and basically in Saudi Arabia and everybody else. And we're not really doing anything effective to stop it. We're only reacting defensively instead of taking them out for the most part. And the money's a big factor.
That was another issue, though. Okay, so you're telling me your take on that word when you mentioned the money, because he didn't say much more. I took it as... He wanted Israel to pay more of their fair share. He didn't develop that good enough for a lot of people to understand what he meant.
Well, you're right there. That's one of his failures. And when he gets excited or he gets defensive after he's been personally attacked, he has a real hard time letting that roll off his back. He showed more discipline initially last night than he normally does, but then his old self started coming back in. He'd come back answering a different question. He'd go back to the previous question, wanted to clarify some more, wanted to defend himself some more, and going on the attack on a personal basis to Biden. He lost opportunities. I mean, when Biden attacked him on being a convicted felon in a Democratic courtroom, he had a tremendous opportunity to come back. He could have just said, okay, I was convicted, but you were rendered incompetent to even stand trial. He didn't say that. And people recommended he should bring that up. Because that's, in fact, the special prosecutor did not prosecute Biden for his actions in keeping classified documents for the very reason he said this man's not competent. He's too old. He doesn't know what's going on. And that's the Biden that we saw last night. I don't know if you saw what happened an hour ago, but he was giving a speech in North Carolina. He was very animated, very coherent, reading off a teleprompter. He was fired up, like we saw with the State of the Union. So they gave him something, and they gave him a different format, and he's out there raring to go, and he's announcing that he's going to continue to run. Well, he's not going to let someone else stand aside for anybody else. So we'll see.
I heard some of it, but it seemed like he was also yelling and ranting like a wild man.
Yeah.
So a little bit Tim Kaine-like he did his rawr, his growl, but...
Well, he's nasty.
My other thing, too, is Trump messed up in the last 2 minutes. It's the economy, stupid. Economy, economy, economy. He didn't talk about that enough in his last 2 minutes. Also, going off the rails, the two of them on the golf crap. Just ridiculous.
Well, I don't play golf, so he lost me on that one, too, and said, what are they talking about? Not that I cared. That's time wasted. Those are golden moments that he can't afford to lose, and he had opportunities to just say, are you better off now than you were when Biden took office? That's the bottom line. Are you paying 20% more for everything? Yes, you are. Is inflation higher now than it was in? Yes, you are. You know, you've had a 17% increase in prices overall, or 19%, and those prices aren't likely to go down. They're kind of going to stable for a while, and the rate of inflation may have been reduced, but it's still going up, and compared to the 1.4% they had when Trump left office, and he had a pretty strong economy and a fairly robust defense posture, all of that's gone down the tubes now, and it's a much more dangerous world that we're facing, especially after the performance last night. I guarantee you foreign leaders like Xi Jinping and Putin are looking at that and say, that's the real Biden, that's the man we have to deal with, and I'm not the least bit intimidated by him. And that's a scary thought. And a thought for people
to
realize.
They might be scared, though, because they don't know who they're dealing with. Are they dealing with Obama?
What team are they?
That's a scary fact, too. They don't know who the heck they're dealing with.
Well, I don't think they're afraid of Obama either. He's the man with multiple red lines. Keep crossing the red lines, and he keeps backing up. And
Have a great weekend. Thank you. Good to hear you back this week.
All right. Thank you. Have a good time. Got another call? Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. Did we lose him? Sorry, we lost him. Do call back. I'll tell you something that's really scary. You know, in August of 1939, you had the Nazi-Soviet non-aggression pact. And a week later, the Nazis invaded Poland, and World War II began in Europe in earnest. Something just happened last week. You know, you had Putin go visit North Korea a couple of weeks ago, talk to Kim Jong-un, and we're not quite sure what kind of talks they had. Whatever we found out about it has not become public knowledge yet. But one thing did happen this last week. North Korea announced that it was sending a battalion of troops to Ukraine to fight with the Russians. Now, these are combat engineers. They're not infantry, but nevertheless, that's a very significant thing happening in the world. We got the caller back. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, Randall Jordan had an ad for this for last night's debate at the Republican headquarters, and I thought it was really good. He said, you know, we have a rare situation coming up, because here we have two known entities. There's no unknowns here. The Trump administration, we had 4 years of the Trump administration. We all know what that was like. Now we have almost 4 years of Biden's administration. We all know what that was like, or is like, what we're living through, this you know, this hell we're living through and looking forward to, even worse, right? So here you have two known quantities, so it's a real easy choice. Hello.
Yeah, it is, right? And you know, it's a choice, and that's all I can say. They're diametrically opposed. You have a very stark choice in who you want to go president at this point, unless something happens to Biden. I mean, you still got that convention. Then a lot of people in the Democratic Party may look at him and say, well, you're fine with a teleprompter, but we can't have you in the White House. And Kamala Harris is something that's very scary thought of her becoming president. It scares the Democrats because she's a totally wild card in many ways, too. They have seen her in office for now for almost 4 years. They've seen her incompetence, her inability to speak, the inability to inspire. I mean, people like her less than they like Joe Biden. So Kamala Harris. They don't like her at all. And at least that's what the polls are saying so far. Now, she may totally turn a new leaf, but she has lost like 17 or 18 close staff members who just flat out quit because they can't stand working for the woman. So I don't know how well that's going to be. That's total turmoil in the Oval Office if she gets in there for whatever reason she takes over. And they can't just ignore her. They can't just dump Biden at the convention and then ignore the first black woman vice president of the United States, who would normally be the person you would just normally shoo into the office. There's a lot of black women who will take great umbrage at that and said that's racist and just they're not going to vote for Trump, but they might just decide to stay home just to say, okay, fine, I don't need to be with you guys. I'm not going to do anything. And they can't afford that. They cannot afford to lose that part of the black vote and win in the northern cities like they expect to. I mean, they got a lot of complicated problems here, a lot of glass balls juggling in the air, and they can't afford to drop any of them. And they got this wild card with Joe Biden and Jill Biden out there. I mean, That speech that I saw an hour ago, she was up there like a cheerleader at a college rally, you know, introducing her husband. I've never seen a first lady do that and insert herself so blatantly into national politics as she did. Anyway, we got a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks for your call. Be back.
Wake up, Slope County. The corruption we see in our country, the corruption we see in our state, is also right here in our beautiful San Luis Obispo County. Come to the Slope County Tea Party meeting Monday, July 1st, 6 p.m. to hear investigative reporter Karen Veeley bring us all up to speed on how your tax dollars are now and soon your home may be taken from you. Hear the latest updates from Cal Coast News at the Slope County Tea Party monthly meeting Monday, July 1st, 6 p.m. at Republican headquarters in Atascadero.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Little darling, here comes the sun. Yep, it's that time again, and you'll be splashing around in your pool. Are you ready? Stop by Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero and stock up on premium pool care products from BioGuard to properly maintain your pool the quick and easy way. Choose from convenient, easy-to-use pool care systems or a host of individual products and accessories to get that sparkling, clear pool water you love. Visit Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero for advice and all the BioGuard products you need, little darling.
Okay, we're back, and the phone lines are open, 238-5775. Give us a call. We were talking about the debate, what you had to think about it, what do you think is going to happen. I'd like to hear your calls today. We can talk about anything you want, but this seems to be a hot topic. One of the things that Biden said last night, and he said all day today, calling Trump a liar over and over and over again, as did everybody else on CNN, MSNBC, and everything else. One of the things that Biden made the statement is about the Border Patrol. He said, aside from closing the border, he said, we significantly increased the number of asylum offices significantly. And by the way, the Border Patrol endorsed me, endorsed my position, he said before going on. Well, the Border Patrol takes issue with that, and he said they have not endorsed him. He said, to be clear, we never have and never will endorse Biden, the union had said in a post on X. He said the Border Patrol just chimed in and said that Joe Biden is lying. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. The bottom line is, let's see, do we have another caller? No, we don't. These men make broad, sweeping statements, and I wonder, you know, is Joe Biden being told by Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security, that all the Border Patrol agents are behind him, that his policies are working, and Biden really doesn't know? That would be interesting. We have a caller. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I need some information from you, sir.
Okay.
What is the difference between a republic and a Democrat, because I think we're a democratic republic. Could you just explain that, how that works?
Well, okay, let's just go to the term democracy. Democracy is direct rule, one man, one vote. You make, like you sit in a Vermont town hall meeting, everybody raises their hand on an issue, everybody gets to vote on it. Okay, we got to kill that, there we go. Anyway, in a democracy like that, a town hall meeting, got 200 people living in a village, they all raise their hand on every issue, and basically you decide what the policy is going to be. In a republic, you have a representative republic. And in this case, we vote for leaders who will represent us in places like Washington or in the state legislature and so forth. And it's a Republican form of government. It's not direct democracy. It also is not direct rule where you can just wipe out somebody else's rights. We have a constitution that protects us in the Bill of Rights. The majority rules, but not at the expense of minority rights. Some rights are irrevocable. You cannot take them away from someone, not without due process of law. And some can't even be taken away with that, such as your rights to liberty, certain kinds of liberties, the right to speak, the right of freedom of religion and thought, things of that nature. But a Republican basically is the name of the party of Abraham Lincoln. That's the part name that they chose. The Democrats tend to be more on the other side, but we do have a democratic process in this country where people are allowed to vote. The legislatures do not make laws or rules in vacuums. In fact, we just had a major Supreme Court ruling that came out today that reinforced the fact that federal agencies can no longer ride roughshod over the people, just make rules willy-nilly, and the courts have to abide by that rule. It was called the Chevron rule that said courts have to defer to federal agencies whenever possible. And the result was they were making all kinds of rules about environmental stuff, banning things outright and everything else. And the Supreme Court came out today and said, nope, you can't do that. And it basically defanged the Environmental Protection Agency and a whole bunch of other agencies are making rules out there where they're not accountable directly to you and me. And our legislatures would literally have to rewrite entire bodies of law to put some of these things into effect, which is what should happen anyway. You know, you elect your congressman, you expect your congressman to look at the bills and not simply say, okay, I'll vote for this, and the law says, and as the secretary may direct. Well, that means a whole bunch of unelected bureaucrats get to make regulations. You have all these 20-somethings out of college, work for federal agencies, and say, well, I think this would be a great rule. Let's ban gasoline-powered cars. Let's ban diesel-powered locomotives. Let's ban diesel-powered trucks. You know, just like that, and all of a sudden everybody has to go out and dump an $80,000 or $100,000 investment in a vehicle and buy something that some regulator says you have to have, even though you can't afford to do so. That's what's been happening, and it's costing millions upon millions of dollars, tens of millions in places like California, billions of dollars across the country. So we'll see how this plays out, but that was a major victory along with other things. But that's in essence what a Republican is as far as what you believe in. They basically believe the Republicans as they stand for many things, but one of them is basically return to constitutional principles. The Constitution means what it says. We have congressmen and senators who make laws, and we want them to make the laws, not unelected bureaucrats. They should be executing the laws as congressmen make them, not going out and making law afterwards. What a lot of times happens, you'll have an environmental group will sue a federal agency. I'm just using environmental as an example because they're the easiest, but they will file a lawsuit. Now, what will happen, they'll be talking ahead of time to some staffers in this agency and says, well, how can we fix this? How can we get this the way we want it? And they'll say, well, why don't you sue us? And then they settle. And then they put this rule in via the courts. And meanwhile, some rancher in Wyoming or some farmer in California is stuck with the result that's viciously devastating to their ability to make a living and totally undermines the freedoms that we thought we had, the rights that they have as private property, you know, to basically, within reason, to live freely and to do what they want to do on their property as long as it's, you know, not destroying the property or destroying someone else's livelihoods in the process. Basically, it gave you a wide degree of freedom to do things. And you find it in the West especially that, you know, landowners tend to be good stewards of the land. It's their land. They love the land. They're usually multi-generation farmers and ranchers. They've loved the land all their life. And all of a sudden, some bureaucrat comes in and says, you can't do anything with this pond that you have for watering your cattle. That's actually polluting the pond. He said, but I built the pond. It's to water my cattle. Well, some geese are flying in. They like to sit there. And this part of the flyway now, so we're going to say this mud puddle is part of the waters of the United States. This is not exaggerating. They've actually done this. And you can't farm here anymore. In fact, you are violating federal law, so we're going to fine you $100,000 a day until you mitigate this problem. They had one really funny instances when the some federal agency came down on this guy, and they were just livid because a dam had been built on this stream. And they said, how dare you construct a dam? We're going to fine you $1 million for this. We're going to file criminal charges, send you in federal prison. So he took him out and showed him the dam, and it was a beaver dam. He says, well, there's your culprits. I didn't do it. Anyway, got the music coming on and got a break coming up. Call us back. We get back from a long break.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.